Okay, we'd like to call to order the May 22nd, 2025 meeting of the City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals. This is a quasi judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will please sign in and witnesses will be sworn in prior to giving testimony. All proceedings of the Savannah ZBA are recorded. Decisions of this board are final. Challenges to the decisions of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals must be filed through the Superior Court of Chatham County. If you have any cell phones or noise making devices, if you will, please silence them at this time. If you will, join me in the prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. Father, we just thank you for a beautiful day and for the privilege of being allowed to live here in this beautiful city. Father, thank you for your presence in this meeting. I ask you to give us wisdom to make right decisions. And Father, I thank you for all of your blessings and pray that you bless all the marriages and families of Savannah and Chatham County. In Jesus' name, amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. If you're here today or listening online, if you want to plan to give testimony or speak here today, you will please stand and we're going to swear in the witnesses. Anybody speaking here today? Yeah. If you're here and you're going to talk, all right, raise your right hand, repeat after me. I do solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Thank you. All right, we have a request for an item to be removed from the final agenda. That's 114 West Duffy, variances to lot coverage, side yard setbacks, and minimum building footprint for an ADU, 25-002255. Somebody make a motion to remove it.
Motion.
Motion by Mr. Condon to remove this item. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and this item will be removed. Next, we're going to have the approval of the minutes from the April 24th, 2025 ZBA meeting. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I so move.
Motion to approve the minutes by Mrs. Jones. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the minutes are approved. We have a motion to approve the final agenda as you see it before you.
So moved.
Mr. Plunk has made a motion to approve the final agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, the final agenda is approved. First item we're going to hear is 3212 Perth Street. The variance for lot area, lot width, and side yard setback, 25-001792.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the board. This is Sadie Eschlerent with Development Services. Here to talk about 3212 Perth Street. So the petitioner is requesting three variances in association with creating a non-conforming subdivision in the TR3 zoning district. One, to reduce the minimum lot area requirement from 3,000 square feet to 2,900 square feet, to reduce the minimum lot width requirement from 40 feet to 29 feet, and to reduce the side yard setback of the existing primary dwelling from 3 feet to 0.3 feet. Here is the subject property in its current configuration. You can see an existing dwelling on the southern portion. So the property is located in the Jackson Park neighborhood, and it measures about 6,000 square feet in area with 60 feet of width by 100 feet of depth, which is conforming in the Tier 3 zoning district. There's currently a principal dwelling on the lot that was built in 1944 with a building footprint of 1,361 square feet. The petitioner is proposing to subdivide the property into two parcels. The existing dwelling will remain on one parcel, the southern portion. And due to the existing placement of the dwelling, the proposed subdivision will not be split exactly in half. Rather, the parcel that is more south with the existing dwelling will have a lot area of 3,100 square feet and a lot width of 31 feet. And the other that is currently vacant will have a lot width of 2,900 square feet and a lot width of 29 feet. Section 5.9.5 of the zoning ordinance requires lot widths of 3,000 square feet and a lot width of 40 feet for these parcels. The petitioner is requesting variances for both of these. Additionally, in the same section, it requires side yard interior setbacks of at least 3 feet. And so with this proposed subdivision, there is a new line, an introduced new property line that will that they're requesting to reduce to 0.3 feet. So the requested variances for lot area and lot width are consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance because the parcels will maintain a way of access. However, the requested variance for the side setback is not consistent because generally setbacks promote minimum building safety separation for safety. However, the submitted survey does indicate a no build zone, which does account for this. The request is the result of the petitioner's chosen design, and it is likely financially motivated. The variances are not required to make use of the subject property, and they would confer special privilege. Here is the proposed survey where the proposed line is right here. This dashed line shows the no build zone in between where the new parcel would be on this parcel, or the new dwelling would be on this parcel. Additionally, here is a photo of the current dwelling, and then a photo of the vacant portion. So with that, NPC staff recommends approval of the requested three variances in association with creating a non-conforming subdivision in the TR3 zoning district to reduce the minimum lot area requirement from 3,000 square feet to 2,900 square feet, to reduce the minimum lot width requirement from 40 feet to 29 feet, and to reduce the side yard setback of the existing primary dwelling from 3 feet to 0.3 feet. With the following condition, if approved, the petition number associated with the variance request shall be recorded on the plat.
Sadie, no build zone. It seems like that's a term that I have not heard before. Explain that.
To my understanding, that is the minimum building separation for fire safety in between the current dwelling and then the proposed area. So because they're creating a new subdivision line and it would have the setback at only 0.3 feet, this is the area where no dwelling could be placed to make sure that there's enough separation between the two dwellings.
So if the variance is granted, that would create the no-build zone?
Correct. According to this survey, yes.
Okay. Are there any other questions for staff?
I do, please, sir. The 4-inch side yard setback that would be allowed for the existing residents, have they taken into consideration the overhang of the roof, the eaves, into this? The reason I ask is when I look at the photograph, it looks like it's about a foot off the side of the house, which means that that based on this, that the roof line would extend into this lot.
Ideally, that would be considered in the no-build zone, and I assume they're currently – they would be under the same property owner, but that would be a good question for the petitioner as well.
Okay. John, can I ask you a question? Can you scroll back to that? Thank you so much. In this area, John, where it says no-build zone, where Steve was talking about, how do we know that that is enforceable? In other words – you all have hundreds of applications that go by your desk every day. How do we know that if we grant this, that that's going to be a doable thing?
It's an unusual note. It's not really the equivalent of a zoning condition, and it's questionably legally enforceable. I think what the applicant is referring to is as Sadie mentioned, the building code says that when you're within 5 feet, when two buildings are within 5 feet of each other, they need to be fire rated, constructed fire rated materials. And so the new house, if it's within 5 feet of the existing structure, would have to be fire rated. And then we would have to raise questions with the applicant. Is the existing house going to be retroactively fire rated in the same way? And so I think what the applicant is really trying to convey is that they do not intend to place the new house within that 5 foot distance and would like to avoid that complication. At the end of the day, if this, you know, that type of note is really more about to the degree that it's recorded at the Chatham County Clerk of Superior Court would be more for those two property owners to enforce on each other.
Right.
It really doesn't rise to the level of a zoning standard. So, you know, I would certainly encourage the new property owner, whoever's constructing this house, to try to provide that separation and avoid those building code complications. But I don't know that we would force them to do that.
Thank you, John.
Sadie, can you scroll back down to the conditions? Yeah.
Sorry, I don't understand.
Just recording the variance on the plat, who is going to see that that is done, and that, will that condition keep them from getting a certificate of occupancy if it's not done?
That is just good practice that I believe we were, it's good practice, for the plats going forward that we should have been doing. And so we're implementing that into any variances for subdivisions now going forward.
I agree that it's a good practice, but who is to oversee? Yeah. Who enforces that?
That's a good question. Edward, do you know?
Good morning, sir. So this is something that as development services staff approves subdivisions, we would kick this back if we did not see that recorded, simply because in the future, when we're trying to figure out where these conditions might have come from, it's easiest to have some sort of a reference for a petition number. So development services staff here at the MPC.
Okay, so they will absolutely have the authority to enforce that.
We once the plat comes through, we can approve or deny the plat itself and in essence, cause the petitioner to go back and amend the plat. We do not issue permits. And so the permitting would be on the side of Mr. Anagnost and the city, his team. So.
And John, y'all watch that pretty close?
Yeah, especially if we're seeing a lot, a substandard lot with an area, we're going to go back and check the subdivision and see if there was a variance. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for staff?
Wouldn't they also need a parking variance to build on this new lot?
Potentially. At this juncture, we were just looking at the actual subdivision itself. So once the application comes in, you know, the applicant then goes through the process. If they require subsequent variances, they might need to come back to address that.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Edward. Would a petitioner please come forward? State your name for the record.
Good morning. I'm Laura Cavan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You have anything you'd like to say?
I'm new. This is my first time here. I'd like to subdivide the two properties, and I'm studying to for my contractor's license. I work on good ethics, and that would be my number one priority is safety with fire concerns.
Okay. Is there any questions for the petitioner?
I do.
Go ahead.
The concern that I have is that when you have a 4-inch separation between a lot line and a side yard, you effectively are virtually guaranteeing you're going to have a problem with that neighbor in the future. You're not going to live in two houses. And so they have a right to put a fence up. So for example, they put a fence up and you have 4 inches in which, if you have 4 inches based on the overhang to which to maintain your house. In addition to that, the building department has every right to say to you, if you're going to build a house on the lot next door, that you, because you currently own both lots, have to now fire rate the side of your house. I think it would be a safer thing if the petition was amended and resubmitted and give yourself another foot. So make it a 28-foot wide lot. There's not a gigantic difference, but it makes a big difference in terms of fire safety and the ability to maintain the lot and, sorry, the house and so on. So people on the board know I'm not a zero side yard guy, you know, so I'm not going to be convinced that that's ever a good thing. 4 inches is zero as far as I'm concerned. So it's just something for you to think about.
Mm-hmm. I don't even think a foot is enough to do. How are you going to get a ladder in there? And
It depends on what they build, right? This is a single story house, right? Yeah, the existing house is a single story house. So I don't disagree with you, Sue.
I mean, does that no build zone include a fence?
No. It's not really enforceable. That's the problem. You know, as John said to us, it's between the two neighbors. And when it's between them two neighbors, it's a guarantee of a problem. And I'm a big believer that what we're not supposed to do is to create problems we're supposed to resolve them.
28 feet would be.
Well, you figure you've got then at least four. 4 feet. You've got at least 4 feet then between the two houses, because you get the 3 foot on one side and you've got the 1 foot 4 inches on the other side. You know, that, I mean, I'm amenable to 27 feet. Don't misunderstand me. I like that better. So I'm not, you know, I think that when we start, I mean, from my perspective, you know, there's several of us here on the board who are experienced builders. A 27 foot wide lot is just as good as a 30 foot wide lot. So I think there's a way to do this. You still need a variance, but you have no fire safety issues anymore. You have no potential for problems when you're building the new house on the other lot and so on. But, you know, we'll discuss how we handle it. But that was, I just wanted to make sure I expressed to you my feeling on that.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. We were just working with the numbers that were recommended.
Yeah, you didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for the petitioner?
Are you amenable to a 27 or 28 foot lot? Is it one lot as good as the other to you, if that were the outcome?
We can always work with what's in front of us.
Anything else? Go ahead.
Would it that fall under making any changes or tweaks fall under the same application process, or would that start?
Yeah, we don't have to approve according to what's here. We can approve another variance, a lesser variance. Do you have anything else you'd like to add? Is there any other questions for the petitioner? Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? There's none online. All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, we'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Griffith, do you have anything you'd like to say?
I agree with Mike's consideration on that, like that.
Mrs. Jones?
I have none at this time.
Mr. Turner?
No, sir.
Mr. Condon?
I'm of the idea that, you know, and I'd like some input from you all. I think we go to 27 feet, or I'm okay with the subdivision. I just don't want these zero lot lines.
What does that do to the no build zone?
Well, the no build zone goes away, and keep in mind the no build zone is just the guy who wrote the plat, you know, putting something in there, you know, for a reference point. It doesn't mean anything. So if we go to 27 feet, for example, right, it gives her a 2,700 square foot lot, which is 300 square feet off the 3,000 lot minimum, which is reasonable. And that'll give then the 3 feet plus 3 feet. It'll be 6 feet, 4 inches between the two houses.
That doable.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So then she's got 3 feet on her property line to work on the side of that thing.
Correct.
That seems, it's better than what's here.
Yeah.
Mr. Turner, you have anything you'd like to say?
No, I'm in agreement.
Okay. Mr. Plunk?
I'm on board.
Mr. Ball?
Yeah, I'd agree with Mr. Condon. It seems like, you know, the alternative, they could be inclined to tear the house down or any number of things that are counterproductive. We don't make this accommodation. So, yeah, I like it.
You can almost guarantee there's going to be a fence.
This is Savannah. People love their fences here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Condon, would you like to make this motion?
I make a motion that we approve a modified version of the application to reduce the minimum lot requirement from 3,000 square feet to 2,700 square feet, to reduce the minimum lot width requirement from 40 feet to 27 feet, to reduce the side yard setback of the existing primary dwelling from 3 feet to 2 feet, 2.3 feet, and that the petition number associated with this variance shall be recorded on the plat.
Okay.
Second.
Mr. Condon has made a motion to reduce the required from 3,000, the required square footage from 3,000 to 2,700. To reduce the width, the lot width from 40 feet to 27 feet, and the side yard setback from 3 feet to 2.3 feet. It's seconded by Mr. Plunk. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right. Mr. Griffith, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Ball?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes, and the variance is approved with the condition. I didn't state that, but it, with the condition that the variance shall be recorded on the plat. All right. Next, we're going to hear 35 Pomona Circle, a variance to rear yard setback, 25-002237.
This is Sadia Sloan again with Development Services for 35 Pomona Circle. The petitioner is requesting a variance to reduce the rear yard setback from 25 feet to 17 feet and 5 inches in association with an addition to the primary dwelling in the PD zoning district. Here is the view of the parcel. It's located in the Bradley Point South Area neighborhood. It measures to be about 4,051 square feet in area, and the parcel is zoned PD in the Bradley Point South subdivision. There's currently a primary dwelling on the lot that was built in 2022. It has a building footprint of about 1,089 square feet. At the rear of the primary dwelling, there is an existing 10-foot by 10-foot concrete pad. The petitioner is proposing to enclose this into a sunroom as an addition to the primary dwelling, and this would increase the building footprint by 100 square feet. The Bradley Point South Subdivision Master Plan includes development standards for the dwellings, and it says that a 25-foot rear setback is required. The petitioner is requesting a rear setback of 17 feet and 5 inches, which is a reduction of 7 feet and 7 inches from the standard. Additionally, the owner has received an HOA approval letter for this addition. So the proposal is not consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance and the master plan. However, the petitioner has received approval from their HOA. The request is the result of the petitioner's chosen design, and it is likely not financially motivated. The variance is not required to make use of the subject property, and it would confer special privilege. Additionally, here is the plot plan where you can see the primary dwelling, and then in the rear is currently the existing 10 by 10 patio where they would place the sunroom. And then here is also a photo of the proposed sunroom as well. So with that, MPC staff recommends approval of the requested variance to reduce the rear yard setback from 25 feet to 17 feet and 5 inches in association with an addition to the primary dwelling in the PD zoning district.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff? Thank you very much. Would the petitioner please come forward?
So my name is Ron Hall. I'm with Patio Enclosures. I actually represent the petitioner, if that's okay. Yeah. We're putting a room on a 10 by 10 foot existing pad, and it's a screen room, full build screen room, and that's what we're requesting your permission for.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Any members of the public wish to speak? All right, well, then we'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Ball, do you have anything you want to say?
No.
Plunk?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Mr. Griffith?
No.
Will someone care to make a motion?
Motion to grant petitioner's request.
All right. Mr. Plunk has made a motion to grant the petitioner's request. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear 811 West 53rd, variance to rear yard setback, 25-002254.
This is Sadia Schlenigan with Development Services for 811 West 53rd Street. The petitioner is requesting a variance to reduce the rear yard setback from 20 feet to 13 feet in association with the construction of a primary dwelling on a vacant nonconforming lot in the RSO6 zoning district. Here is the aerial view where you can see the front of the property is on West 53rd Street. The property is located in the Liberty City, Summerside, Southover, and Richfield neighborhood. It currently measures about 2,897 square feet in area and has a width of 30 feet and varying lengths of depth due to the parcel's irregular shape. It is non-conforming in the zoning district due to lot area and width. The lot is also currently vacant, and the petitioner is proposing to build a primary dwelling on this parcel with a proposed footprint of 1,000 square feet. The proposal does not exceed maximum lot coverage, and an off-street parking space is indicated in their submission. They will meet all setback requirements except for the rear yard, which is being requested. Section 5.7.5 of the zoning ordinance requires a rear yard setback of 20 feet. They are requesting 7 feet of relief from this. The proposal is not consistent with the intent of the ordinance. However, the parcel is significantly smaller in size than expected by the zoning district. And the parcel is has an irregular shape where the rear property line is angled. The request is likely financially motivated. However, it is not required to make use of the subject property, but the variances would not confer special privilege upon the petitioner. Here is a drawing of the parcel and the proposed home as well, and the proposed driveway. And then the survey is down here. So with that, MPC staff recommends approval of the requested variance to reduce the rear yard setback from 20 feet to 13 feet in association with the construction of a primary dwelling on a vacant non-conforming lot in the RSF 6 zoning district.
Can you scroll down a little bit? Let me see the picture again. No, the other way.
Not a great scale there.
Yeah. Are there any questions for staff? Thank you very much. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Yes, how you doing?
Good morning, Mr. Cody.
All right. I'm Deidre Cody, construction manager for Coastal Habitat of Savannah. We are seeking to do a variance to do a single family build on this lot.
Is there any questions for the petitioner? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Cody.
Thank you.
Mr. Stevens. Dwayne Stevens.
Hello. Okay. Oh, there we go. I couldn't get it on mute. I apologize.
Good morning. You got anything you'd like to say?
Yes, I'd like to add in. I am the vice president of the Coastal Empire Habitat for Humanity Board of Directors, and I support proceeding with this request and staff's recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Does anyone else like to speak concerning this petition? All right. Well, we'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Baldy, you want to say anything?
No.
Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Mr. Griffin?
No, sir.
Okay, would someone care to make a motion?
Motion to grant petitioner's request.
All right, Mr. Plunk has made a motion to grant petitioner's request. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Turner. No discussion on the motion. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffin?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes and variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear 1412 East 51st Street, variance for relief from nonconformity, 25-002280.
This is Sadie Ashthorne again with Development Services for 1412 East 51st Street. The petitioner is requesting a variance for relief from nonconformity in association with a vertical addition to a primary dwelling in the RSF 6 zoning district. Here is an aerial view of the subject property. It's located in the Parkside neighborhood as well as the Parkside Conservation District. The property measures approximately 6,300 square feet in area, and it is a conforming parcel in the RSF 6 zoning district with 60 feet of width and 105 feet of depth. Additionally, the parcel does have lane access. The principal dwelling on the lot was built in 1970, and it has a building footprint of 1,883 square feet. It has a lot coverage of 29.9%, which is permitted in the zoning district. The dwelling is currently non-conforming with an encroaching eastern side interior yard setback of approximately 3 feet and 10 inches, where 10 feet is required. The petitioner is proposing additions to the second floor of the primary dwelling. So to clarify, the additions will only be vertical and not horizontal, and they will encroach into the existing nonconforming side yard setback, but they will not encroach into anything further than what is already existing. Section 11.4.2.B.2 of the zoning ordinance discusses that nonconforming structures may be enlarged. The petitioner is requesting relief from nonconformity to expand or enlarge the nonconforming structure for the second floor addition. So the proposal is not consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance. However, the home was built prior to adoption of the current development standards, along with the nonconforming side yard setback. The request is the result of the petitioner's chosen design, and it is likely not financially motivated. The variance is not required to make use of the subject property, and it would confer special privilege. Here is a view of the proposed addition. So on this side is the current existing encroaching side yard setback, and there will be vertical additions as well. I'll scroll down to some of the elevations to look at where these are the existing, and then these are the proposed for the west and the south, and then additionally for the north and the east. So with that said, MPC staff recommends approval of the requested variance for relief from nonconformity in association with a vertical addition to a primary dwelling in the RSF 6 zoning district.
Got a question, and let me know, am I getting caught up with language, or is there a difference in relief from nonconformity and the expansion of a nonconforming use?
For all intents and purposes, we're approaching them the same for this variance, yeah.
But there is a difference in the two things?
I think there might be has been a difference in the language, but it's the same thing for this. Yes.
Okay. Are there any questions for staff?
Just one quick one. Can you scroll down to the variant, to the rule? Sorry, I always say it the wrong way.
Okay.
Scroll up, please.
This one.
You have the rule that allows us to do this.
Yep.
Yeah, right there. So is this a rule that says that we can grant this variance, or is I'm trying to figure out if they should even be here asking for a variance if they need one.
Yes, I believe John might be able to expand upon this further, but this is a section of the ordinance that would allow the ZBA to do this.
Yeah.
So the zoning ordinance is actually a strict reading of it would be very restrictive in the sense that it says the expansion in any way of a nonconforming use or structure requires approval from this board. The city has chosen to interpret it as an expansion that increases the degree of nonconformity. Essentially, if the portion of the building that's within the setback is expanded, that requires a variance. And so this applicant could expand the house in other directions that don't go into the setback and would not require approval from this board. And so that's really the key distinction is it increasing the degree of nonconformity?
Well, in this instance, and I'm just trying to learn something here, John, in this instance where they're not expanding horizontally, if I interpret this correctly, they don't need a variance.
Do need a variance, but it will not change the degree of nonconformity that exists already because they're going up. It's not going to encroach any further into the setback, but it's expanding. It's already nonconforming, so any alterations to the nonconformity is expanding a nonconforming use. Because it's like he said, if you're interpreting it strictly, then you would not expand the nonconforming use without the variance in any way.
Okay. So that was my confusion. When I read it, I thought that it meant that if they're just going up, they don't need a variance. If they're going out, they need a variance. So what you're saying is any type of addition that requires modification to the existing dwelling that's in an area that's outside of your footprint does need a variance.
Right. The key thing is that the addition that's proposed here is within 5 feet of the side property
right.
boundary. It's within the setback area.
Right.
And so even though there already is an existing portion of the building within that setback area, you're increasing the mass of the building that's in that area. And so in this case, it's extremely minor, that addition. But you could imagine if someone said, I have a one-story house and I want to, that's within the setback, and I want to put a complete second story on there.
Yeah.
that is potentially impactful for a neighbor and is something that really should be discussed with in this public setting.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions for staff? All right, thank you very much. Would the petitioner please come forward?
How you doing?
Good morning.
Mr. Plusnik, VP2 Design. That essentially on this project, there is some questions as far as where the setback actually is. We started with an image off Sages, and the aerial view that on the report seems to be a little bit more in line with what is actually existing on site. So it is, if the building encroaches into the setback slightly, it's just a matter of inches versus, you know, feet. And in addition, we're also stepping in 4 inches from the face of the brick. So, going vertical. So we're actually, I think one edge of it is 10 inches and the other edge is about 7 inches. So it's minor, but I think there is some play as far as the property lines and the setback on that, just from the images that were that were attainable.
Any questions for the petitioner? All right, thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
Are there any members of the public that wish to speak? All right, we don't have any. So we'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Griffith, do you have anything to say?
I do not.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Mr. Turner?
No, sir.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Plum?
No, sir.
Mr. Ball?
No, sir.
Would someone care to make a motion?
I motion that we approve the requested variance.
Second.
All right, Mr. Turner has made a motion to approve the variance as requested. It's seconded by Mr. Plunk. If there's no discussion on the motion, Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear Zero West Street. Variance to rear and front yard setbacks 25-002285.
This is City of Sharon again with Development Services talking about Zero West Street. The petitioner is requesting two variances in association with the construction of a primary dwelling on a vacant non-conforming lot in the RSF 5 zoning district. One, to reduce the front yard setback from 20 feet to 5 feet, and two, to reduce the rear yard setback from 20 feet to 9 feet. Here is an aerial view of the parcel where you can see it fronts West Street. The property is located in the West Savannah neighborhood with a area of between 2,730 square feet and 2,964 square feet. Due to its irregular shape, the width and depth do vary. However, the width is at least 75 feet, and it is a non-conforming parcel in the zoning district due to the lot area. The lot is currently vacant, and the petitioner is proposing to build a single-family dwelling with a footprint of 888 square feet. The proposal does not exceed the maximum permitted lot coverage and will meet the off-street parking space requirement. Additionally, side yard setbacks will be met, and the variances are being requested just for the front and rear yard setbacks. So in Section 5.7.5 of the Zoning Ordinance, it requires front and rear yard setbacks of 20 feet. The petitioner is requesting a front yard setback of 5 feet and a 9-foot rear yard setback. So the proposal is not consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance. However, the parcel is much smaller than anticipated in the zoning district. Additionally, the parcel is irregularly shaped and not oriented as anticipated by the zoning ordinance. Thus, the request is not a result of the actions of the petitioner, and it is likely not financially motivated. The literal interpretation of the regulations would deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by others. And the variances are required to make use of the subject property. As the building envelope for the lot that complies with the development standards is not reasonably buildable, as it's 39 feet, where the front and rear yard setback are both 20 feet, and so there simply would be no building envelope for this lot due to the orientation. And so the variances would not confer special privilege upon the petitioner. Here's the plan for Zero West Street. You can see the driveway and then the proposed primary dwelling. So with that said, MPC staff recommends approval of a requested two variances in association with the construction of a primary dwelling on a vacant non-conforming lot in the RSF 5 zoning district. One, to reduce the front yard setback from 20 feet to 5 feet, and two, to reduce the rear yard setback from 20 feet to 9 feet.
Thank you very much. Can you scroll back down to the picture of the lot, the aerial view? Okay. Are there any questions for staff? All right. Thank you very much. Would the petitioner please come forward? State your name for the record. Is the petitioner online? No petitioner. Someone care to make it? Do y'all want to hear this, or do you want to continue it? No, I don't. Okay. All right. Well, there's no petitioner. We've heard the staff report. Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, I'm fine with hearing it. It's, you know, creative use of an odd lot. Seems like you should shepherd it through.
Mr. Plunk?
Was there any public comment?
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
I should check. Otherwise, I have no problem with it.
Mr. Condon? I'm okay. Mr. Turner?
All good.
Mrs. Jones?
I'm okay.
Mr. Griffith?
No comment.
All right. Would someone care to make a motion?
A motion we approve the requested two variances.
Second.
Mr. Ball has made a motion to approve the variances as requested. It's seconded by Mr. Plunk. Assuming there's no discussion on the motion, Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes and variances are approved. Next, we're going to hear 1605 and 1607 LeGrand Street variances to lot width, lot area. Lot area to establish an ADU, building footprint for ADU, and relief from eaves roof overhang, 25-001041.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Edward Marr, Director of Development Services. This is a request at 1605 and 1607 LeGrand Street. There are five variances that staff identified, four that were requested initially. Two of them related to the creation of a non-conforming parcel, request to reduce the minimum lot area and width from the 3,000 square feet and 30 feet required in the TR2. Two more related to the establishment of accessory dwelling units. Petitioner proposes to place an ADU at the rear of each home. And so there is a requirement that a parcel be at least 125% of its minimum lot area to establish an ADU, and also that ADU not exceed 40% of the building footprint for the proposed dwelling. And finally, staff identified that relief from eaves and overhangs would be required, as that was not indicated on the concepts that we received. You can see an aerial view of the subject parcels on the screen here. These are two presently non-conforming parcels in the TR2 district, one that's about 20 feet wide, the other one that's about 24 feet wide. The petitioner is looking to shift those property lines so that both parcels would have equal area. So that's the first request. Again, that recombination to produce two lots that are 21.84 feet in width by 90 feet in depth. They are presently vacant, and again, they're going to establish a single-family home and an accessory dwelling unit. You can see Section 595 requires 3,000 square feet of area and 30 feet of lot width within this zoning district. This is requested in order to overcome this particular provision that requires that where two adjoining lots are under the same ownership, ordinarily we would expect that a petitioner would combine them in order to create a non-conforming in order to create a conforming lot or a more conforming lot, in essence. And so also we have here the standard associated with the 125% minimum lot area required to establish an ADU, the footprint standard related to accessory dwelling units, and also roof eaves and overhangs may encroach into a required setback to 2 feet, but they still must remain at least 3 feet from a property line. it is unlikely that the petitioner is going to be able to meet this standard. So in looking at this, this request is generally consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance in that these are single-family detached homes that would be created here, although the lots would, by the letter, be non-conforming. This is a hardship. Again, these are existing lots that are presently non-conforming, and the petitioner is improving upon an already non-conforming situation. Approval of this variance is unlikely to confer a special privilege upon this applicant. You can see the proposed configuration of these single-family dwellings with their ADUs here. And so with that, MPC staff is recommending approval to reduce the minimum lot area and lot width that's required, to reduce the minimum lot area to establish the ADUs, to grant relief from the eaves and overhangs, although not initially requested, and to exceed the maximum lot coverage by 50% by 2%. You can see these are already smaller than ordinarily anticipated by the zoning district. Staff recommends denial of the request to exceed the 40% standard for the proposed ADUs. And we have some conditions for that. The eaves and overhangs shall not be less than 1 foot 6 inches from the property line. Petitioner shall install gutters to prevent runoff. And if approved, the petition number associated with the variance request shall be recorded on the plat. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
So they want to exceed the 40% just by 2%, making it 42. Okay.
That's correct.
Any questions for staff?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
These are historic lots of record. They have separate pins.
That's correct. Well, yes, they do. They're present.
So they could be built on as they are, and he's just trying to equalize what she's trying to equalize, the size of the lots.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Oh, go ahead, John.
So there's a provision in the zoning ordinance called non-conforming lots of record, and what that says is that when a single owner owns two non-conforming lots, non-conforming in terms of minimum width and minimum lot area that are adjacent to each other, the zoning ordinance instructs us to treat those as a single lot. And so in this instance, these two lots could be built with one single family house in combination. So this total site of two lots would be limited to a one single family house in its current, as it currently stands. So that, just want to clarify that.
But if he sold one of the two lots, John, two separate people could build on these lots.
That's right.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions for staff? Thank you, Edward. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am Tasha Hall with Scott Realty Professionals. I have personally, along with my partner, built multiple homes between Savannah, Garden City, and Port Wentworth, and there are times when we have to come before you guys as a board and request variances for different things. I am aware of what he just explained, and I am aware of if we switch ownership into someone else, then we would be right back here with the same scenario on can we get a variance on these two parcels for two different owners. So we're just trying to improve the footprint of the neighborhood. I pulled up some homes on the same street that are 24-foot lots, and they have 20-foot homes on them. So although we need a variance to be in current compliance, this was a thing when the neighborhood was developed, and homes definitely are much closer than what we're asking for in this situation. Along with the ADU, we know that housing in the Midtown area is scarce, and we know that it's also needed for roommate situations and student situations, and that's how we came to this plan.
Thank you very much. Any questions for the petitioner? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that wish to speak concerning this petition? All right. Edward, I might have missed it. What about the parking for these? What's the requirement?
These have lane access, and so staff would expect that the petitioner would actually, I don't think we have elevations, so I'm assuming these are garages. So.
Oh, those were the accessory dwelling units.
Usually there's a configuration where you'll have an ADU. Well, that's actually a really good question. simply because the height that's likely at the rear of the property would mean a new variance would be required. That's an excellent point. I'll
think
allow
the petitioner to answer that.
The ADU does have a garage, so they'll have alley access for parking underneath the apartment, and the main dwelling has street parking. But there is a – no, I'm wrong. We do have a driveway. And give me one second. It does meet the – there's a new requirement for driveways, too, which is 12 – I'm sorry, y'all. I wrote on my notes so it would be bigger, but I can't see it. But the main dwellings do have a driveway, and it is 20 feet.
Mm-mm. Will you enter the garage from the alley?
You can enter the garage from the alley for the ADU, and the main dwelling has a driveway.
Dang, where are you going to put a driveway?
Let me find it. Thing right here.
This is 44, which would kind of suggest we're not looking
at the exact. Oh, that's not the right one.
I'm going to speculate that chances are there's going to be even an additional variance that's required here, simply because the height then with the garage on one floor and the dwelling unit on the second floor would probably put it greater than 15 feet within that area. I'm going to assume it will likely be shorter than the principal dwelling, but it would be taller than it would be permitted to be within that distance of the rear property line.
And that is not a variance that's been requested.
That is not one that has been requested. That's correct. But again, something that could be addressed here.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know about y'all, but I think there needs to be some additional information that I wouldn't be sorry to see a continuous on this one. Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Plunk?
You're just interested in the parking situation, right?
The parking and the height. Go ahead, John.
So the plans that were provided with this application show that the accessory dwelling units each have a garage on their ground floor. Accessory dwelling units do not require their own parking, so the parking that would be required for each of these lots would be one parking space per dwelling unit, which each of these, my understanding, is single family proposed. So there would be one parking space required per lot to meet the parking requirement for the principal dwelling, which they would meet through the garages that are provided in the accessory dwelling units. So they actually don't need a driveway in the front. And then as far as the height is concerned, the maximum height of 15 feet within 15 feet of a rear property boundary is applicable only when there is no lane present. So when there is a lane present, that standard does not prevail, and the standard is shall not be taller than the principal dwelling or 25 feet, whichever is less.
Okay, well, then that answers both of those questions. Mr. Plunk, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Nothing else.
Mr. Condon?
No.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
Mr. Griffith?
No.
Someone like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we accept staff recommendation for approval to reduce the minimum lot area requirement from 3,000 to 1,966 square feet, to reduce the minimum lot width from 30 feet to 21.84 feet, to reduce the minimum lot area requirement to establish an ADU from 3750 to 1966 square feet, relief from eaves or roof overhangs, exceed the maximum lot coverage of 50% by 2%, and denial of the following variance: to exceed the 40% building footprint maximum of an ADU in relation to the principal dwelling by 2%. In the following conditions: eaves or roof overhangs shall not be less than 1 foot 6 inches from the property line. Install gutters to prevent runoff. If approved, the variance request shall be recorded on the plat.
Okay. Mr. Condon has made a motion to approve all staff recommendations or approve the variances according to staff recommendations, deny the one item of the exceeding the 40% building footprint by 2% and incorporating all of the conditions this staff has suggested. Is there a second?
I'll second as long as I don't have to repeat it.
All right. Seconded by Mr. Plunk. Is there any discussion on the motion? Mr. Griffith, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
And Mr. Ball?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes and the variances are approved with according to all staff recommendations and conditions. Next, we're going to hear 809 East 36th Street, variance to lot area and width, 25-002012.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Senator Morrow. This is a request, Mr. Drew Johnson and Billings Development Company at 809 East 36th for the purpose of creating two non-conforming lots. You can see from your screens, this is an aerial image of the subject property. There's an existing dwelling that is proposed to be demolished, and the petitioner is proposing to create two new lots. Out of the one that exists presently, they're asking for relief in order to do that. The minimum lot area required within the TR1 zoning district for single family homes is 3,000 square feet. The lots would have an area of 2,549 square feet, and the minimum required width is 40 feet. Petitioner is requesting to establish 34-foot lots here. So again, to remove this home and to divide this parcel. If it is also helpful, these particular parcels are also under their ownership and currently in development. So they're resolving a situation here where we had some nonconformity. So according to the tax assessor, the subject property is about 5,100 square feet. And it is conforming with regard to its area and width in the present zoning district. There is a primary dwelling on the lot that the petitioner proposes to demolish, and they are going to build two-story single-family dwellings on the two lots that would be created. They're proposed to have a footprint of approximately 1,000 square feet each, and the submitted proposals indicate that these dwellings will meet lot coverage and setback requirements. You can see those standards here within the zoning district. The requested variances are generally consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance because both parcels will have way of access. And again, single family development is anticipated here, though not meeting the present standards for single family detached dwellings. Again, it is also consistent with the prevailing development pattern in this area. There are no special circumstances or hardships associated with it. The variances are likely financially motivated. Approval of the variances would confer a bit of special privilege, but variance relief is a remedy afforded to all similarly situated properties. You can see here the proposed subdivision and the resulting single-family dwellings that would be placed here. Just to point out here, there is a note that these would be two-story townhomes. Staff is requesting that this be revised upon resubmission to indicate these are single-family homes. So one single-family dwelling on each lot proposed here. With that, staff does recommend approval of the two variances that are requested with two conditions. The plat be revised to indicate that these are single family. And also, if approved, the petition number associated with the variance be recorded on the plat. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Morrow? All right. Thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward? Good morning.
Good morning.
You will state your name for the record.
My name is Drew Johnson.
Mr. Johnson, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, sir.
Are there any questions for the petitioner? All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that wish to speak? All right. Well, we're entering the board discussion. Mr. Griffith, do you have anything you want to say?
I do not.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Plunk?
No, sir.
Mr. Ball?
No.
Someone care to make a motion?
I move that we accept the staff recommendations of approval.
Do you also including the adding the condition?
Yes.
All right. Mrs. Jones has made a motion to grant the variance according to staff recommendations with the conditions that staff has placed on this, which is has to do with recording on the plat and the and that it names it, or the designation be changed to single family and not townhomes. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Turner. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plump?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
Okay. The motion passes and the variances are approved with the conditions. Next, we're going to hear 735 East 40th Street. Variance for rear yard setback of ADU 25-002245.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a request by Mr. Denzel Hill on behalf of Jennifer Long at 735 East 40th Street. The petitioner is requesting a variance that would permit her to reduce the maximum required height for an ADU in relation to the rear property line. So an ADU that exceeds 15 feet in height is not permitted within 15 feet of the rear property line. And so this particular proposed ADU would rest about 5 feet from the rear property line. You can see this structure that is pictured here. In looking at this particular request, there was a previous request on this particular parcel with a different proposal about 1 year ago. And so there was a non-conforming accessory structure that was damaged, destroyed, and in essence, the petitioner was seeking to expand it. And so that particular request was denied by this board 1 year ago. And so the petitioner has returned with an alternative proposal that is conforming in all regards with the exception that it exceeds the height that's permitted in relation to the rear property line. So the subject property is zoned TR1. It's a conforming parcel in the zoning district. Principal dwelling was established in 1940. And it has a footprint of about 1,596 square feet. The petitioner is wanting to establish an ADU that has, I believe, the dwelling unit on the ground floor and a loft storage space up top is the way that I believe it's been described. We can see here, according to Section 8.7.4H, the zoning ordinance requires a 15-foot rear setback for an ADU if it is over 15 feet in height. So, in reviewing this, the request is inconsistent with the intent of our standards. Again, the petitioner likely has the ability to create a conforming accessory structure. Let me see if I can zoom out here just a little. Previously, this is where the structure was situated that was proposed to be improved and expanded. And so now this has been reoriented so that you can see that it is longer. However, there should be at least 15 feet here based on the height that is proposed. So with that, staff does recommend denial of this particular request. However, if the board is inclined to support the variance request, staff would recommend that the windows on the south-facing facade of the proposed ADU be removed, and the petitioner and their contractor were kind enough to provide some alternative proposals. Again, this was described as a loft space, a storage space. And so you can see they have offered an alternative window here that is much smaller that would not necessarily impede privacy for the property owner to the south. And there's also an alternative with no window. So happy to answer any questions.
Does the proposed height still, is it underneath or below the height of the primary structure?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and from the picture, it looks like, if you can pull the aerial view back up,
sure.
It looks in fitting with development patterns. Right to the left there.
There appear to be some non-conforming.
Yeah.
Again, this house was built in about the 1940s, and so it looks relatively consistent with what's there.
In the back?
There is no lane in the back.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Are there any other questions for staff? All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Marler. Would the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good day, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you, sir. You did a phenomenal job of explaining my design intent. I wanted to also magnify the point that I can't move this structure up any closer.
I'm sorry, sir. Could state your name for the record, please.
Right, I missed that part. Denzel Hill. Can't see it on my name tag because it's worn off a little bit. But I wanted to clarify my intent to get this variance passed, whether or not I have to remove the rear windows. The loft space, if it helps, the loft space is on the right side of those windows. So if you were to be up in that loft, you can't look directly out those windows. And I also wanted to add that I can't move this structure up anymore because it will be within that 10-foot requirement from the principal dwelling unit. So willing to answer any more questions or any more concerns regarding the design intent.
Any questions for the petitioner? Thank you very much. Are there any members of the public that wish to speak? I got this.
Yeah.
Mr. Mendler?
I'm good.
Okay. All right. Well, then we'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Griffith, do you have anything you want to say?
No.
Mrs. Jones?
Not at this time.
Mr. Turner?
No, sir.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Plunk?
No, sir.
Mr. Ball?
No.
Edward, I know that it's not the 15 feet, but how far are we off the property line there in the rear?
5 feet.
5 feet. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. There's no more board discussion. Would someone care to make a motion?
I motion that we grant the variance with the condition that they remove the south-facing window.
All right. Mr. Ball has made a motion to grant the variance with the condition of removing the south-facing window. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Turner. Any discussion on this motion? All right, Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes and the variance is approved with condition. Next, we're going to hear 220 East 57th Street, extension of time for previously approved variance, 25-002246. Edward, am I wrong, but this is more than just approval of the previously approved variance. We're considering some new stuff as well, right?
That's not my understanding. The reason why
I read it wrong when I was reading it.
Okay. The reason why I believe Mr. Chaos is here is simply because the previous variance, the time limit has expired before they were able to carry out permitting activities as required by the ordinance. So here is the original posting item from April 25th, 2024. Staff is recommending the exact same thing. I believe this is why we are representing it. I believe actually the board previously approved all of the requests. So this is not because we necessarily take issue with it, just to say, should I run back through the facts of the case really quick? Just to,
yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Awesome.
I think that might have got me confused when I was reading it. Cause,
sure.
Yeah.
Simply because staff still had the same concerns. So these are four variances that are requested in association with a proposal to expand a nonconforming accessory structure. The first being relief from nonconformity, relief from the rear setback required for an ADU adjoining a lane, increase the allowable area for an ADU to exceed 40%. Of the footprint of the principal dwelling and allows for an expansion to exceed the height of the primary dwelling by 3 feet 8 inches. And this particular point was one that garnered a lot of discussion in our previous hearing, if you all recall, about a year ago. So this is the subject property. And so it presently contains, well, the property itself is a conforming parcel in the RSF 6 district. It contains a non-conforming accessory structure. The footprint of the principal is about 1,160 square feet. The square footage of the accessory structure is 584. And so it exceeds the floor area of the principal dwelling. sorry, the floor area permitted in relation to the principal dwelling. It's at 49%. Not only that, the rear setback at present, I believe, is 1 foot 10 inches. So that's the setback nonconformity, and also, again, proposing to increase the height. This is a vertical expansion of this nonconforming structure. It would exceed the height of the principal dwelling by 3 feet 8 inches, essentially. And looking at this, the variances related to the expansion of the nonconforming structure are not significantly inconsistent. Horizontal expansion of an existing ADU is not likely to have a detrimental impact. However, again, there would be some privacy concerns related to allowing this ADU to exceed the height of the principal dwelling. And it was on that basis that staff recommended denial, particularly of the request to exceed the height. So just to show you the proposal, the first floor is the existing garage, tandem garage here. And then atop that would be built this new living quarters that would have the guest room, some storage space, and a bathroom. So, again, this is a request that the board previously approved. Staff is, again, offering the very same recommendations the first time. Relief to expand the existing nonconformity structure, relief from the rear setback, again, expansion of an existing structure, and to increase the allowable area for an ADU to exceed 40%, as it's only a vertical expansion, and denial of the request for it to exceed 3 feet, to exceed the height of the primary dwelling by 3 feet 8 inches.
All right, thank you.
Sure.
Is there any questions for staff? Yeah, and I didn't realize the whole year had passed. This is the only one that I remember we've ever approved that let the height exceed the primary, and I remember they made a pretty decent case, but everything we're considering is exactly what we considered before.
That is my understanding. I anticipate we will hear more about this issue, you know, under the current economic climate with regard to materials and costs and things of that nature. So we're hearing a lot of rumblings about the one-year requirement being kind of an issue for folks trying to get projects done. So.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Would the petitioner please come forward?
Hello, Pete Callejas, Homestead Architecture.
Morning.
Hello, Chairman, members of the board. Thank you for serving the community the way you do. Appreciate it. The only reason why we're really here is just because a year went by really fast because of death in the family, illnesses, and extensive traveling. Elizabeth travels quite extensively for Gulfstream, and not being able to get a contractor to even call us back for quite some time. We do have a contractor on board that's pricing it right now, but we weren't able to get pricing or contract finalized and therefore not have a permit within the year. So we realized the year was running up and out, and we resubmitted before the year was up. I was thinking that they would just grant a variant, you know, extension. But because of the way it is, you know, here we are. Generally, it's exactly the same. We haven't changed the design at all. This was approved unanimously about 13 months ago. And really, the whole thing about the height, we got, you know, basically, they have a very small house. It's a very low house, the smallest house on the block. Every house, in fact, a lot of carriage houses and ADUs in the back are taller than their house. We made the structure as low as we possibly could. It's got a carport. It's got a garage. We made it large enough so that they could get their truck underneath, but we didn't make it any higher than it needed to be. They have a guest quarters above. It's not a rentable living unit. It doesn't have a kitchen, so it's not really a habitable area. It's just a guest room, which was part of their program, as they wanted to have an area where they could have guest quarters that was not necessarily attached to the house. And because they wanted to do the carport or the garage, they combined it into one structure. We brought it down as low as we possibly could. We brought the ceiling down as low as we could. We got the roof down as low as we could. We matched the slope of the existing house. And so it is what it is. It's lower than the house behind it. It's lower than, like I said, there's three other carriage houses, accessory units or accessory buildings on the lane that are two stories that are higher than this. I think the reasonable difficulty in this case is just because their house is the smallest one in the block, this structure just happens to be higher than the main house. But we did push the massing as far back in the center of the block as we could possibly get it. So that the part that's a story and a half that pops up is as far inward into the center and it's not very noticeable. It wouldn't be noticeable much from the street. I have a couple other drawings that show that it's really kind of tucked back in there. We feel like the architecture fits harmoniously in the neighborhood. We worked really hard to try to get this thing so that it met all the client's needs, met all the architectural requirements. It was harmonious, and we got it as low as we possibly could. And again, just by the nature of the fact that their house is really, really low and really small, this is what we're left with. So we're hoping you agree with the board a year ago and that you would grant the variance. We're not asking for much. It's if you look at the architecture, I think it would fit in quite nicely in the neighborhood. And, you know, yes, it is higher than the main house, but again, had we been able to get a contractor and get a permit, we wouldn't be here at all. So really, that's really just what we're trying to continue on what we've already been granted unanimously a year ago. And so here we are. So thanks. I'm here to answer any questions. Elizabeth is here if you need any other information.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Elizabeth Barber. I'm the owner of the property. I just want to reiterate that we came across some hardships, both family, medical deaths this past year, along with the strain of the contractors. It is the exact same variance. Chairman, you have a pet peeve about the height of the building. We also have a pet peeve of that, especially when they put a carriage house on the front of the property line, so it's very intrusive. So we set this back as far as we could, and then we lowered the loft so that it's lower. So from point of view of the street, you don't notice it being any taller. We also got letters of support from the neighbors around us in the first application. So we tried to have been a good neighbor. I've lived in the house for 17 years, love the neighborhood. Everything that we've done in our house has been to keep the integrity of the neighborhood and the look of it. And so we just would like to continue and make this a viable option for us.
It seems like I remember y'all's petition before now that the reason why it was exceeding the primary structure, but it was below all of the surrounding ones.
Correct. We just have the lowest height structure in the block area.
Are there any questions for the petitioner? No. All right. Thank y'all very much. Any members of the public that wish to speak? We have none. Mr. Ball, do you have anything to say?
Yeah, it seems like, 3 feet variance, it would be very hard to discern, especially if you were standing in front of the house, you wouldn't even be able to see it. So it's not a giant ask. So I'm inclined to support it.
Mr. Blunt?
No, sir.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mrs. Jones?
No, sir.
Mr. Griffin?
No.
Hey, would someone care to make a motion?
Motion, we grant all 4 variance requests, including the allowance to exceed the height by 3 feet, 8 inches.
Okay. Mr. Ball has made a motion to grant all 4 variance requests. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Turner. Any discussion? Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffin?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes and all requested variances are approved. Next, we're going to hear 15 West 39th Street, variance to rear yard setback, minimum building frontage, and separation between the principal dwelling and ADU, 25-002290.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This is our final request of the day. This is a proposal to develop a single-family dwelling and an accessory dwelling unit at 15 West 39th Street. This property is within the Streetcar Historic District, and it's in the TN2 zoning district. The petitioner has 3 variance requests in association with the proposal to reduce the separation between a principal dwelling and an ADU from the minimum 10-foot required to 5 feet, to reduce the rear setback of an ADU that exceeds 15 feet in height from 15 feet to 3 feet and reduce the minimum building frontage of the principal dwelling from 70% to 58.8%. This is the subject parcel. You can see it's presently vacant. It does have a vacant parcel that's kind of a through parcel at its rear, but it's also between two existing dwellings. And so this particular request is going to be heard by the Historic Preservation Commission on the May 28th agenda. There was no formal discussion between us. It's my understanding that the city may have some concerns about a decision today without a recommendation from the Historic Preservation Commission beforehand. MPC staff did not see that this was required. However, just I'll note that for the record and allow you all to have a conversation once we get to the end of the presentation. According to the tax assessor, the subject property is about 2,475 square feet in area, 33 feet wide and 75 feet deep. It is a non-conforming parcel, but an existing parcel within this zoning district. Again, it's vacant. Petitioner would like to place a 1,002 square foot home with a 278 square foot accessory dwelling unit. The TN districts do not have a minimum lot area requirement to establish an accessory dwelling unit. And so in this case, one would be permitted, but obviously if variances from development standards are required, they must seek those variances. And so if petitioner desires to establish an ADU, it must be they must remain cognizant of all of the other development requirements upon the parcel. So based on the submissions we received, the height of the primary is proposed to be 28 feet 5 inches and the ADU 23 feet 4 inches. Lot coverage would ultimately be 52%, where 60% is the maximum permitted in the zoning district. Garage parking is anticipated. And there's also sufficient parking in the driveway, which would be long enough to permit tandem parking. In looking at the standards, the ordinance does permit require 10 feet of separation between principal dwellings and ADUs. Petitioner is requesting to reduce this to 5 feet. The ordinance requires a 15-foot rear yard setback for an ADU not adjoining a lane, 15 feet in excess of 15 feet in height. The petitioner is proposing an ADU that would be 23 feet 4 inches, again, in this area where a maximum of 15 is permitted. The lot is somewhat narrow to accommodate all of these things, and so the petitioner is requesting to reduce that building frontage requirement, which is ordinarily 70%, indicating that a lane would typically be expected in these circumstances. They would like to reduce the width of the house to permit a driveway to be placed. So this proposal is not consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance. However, the lot is approximately 83% of the minimum area anticipated within this zoning district. There are no special circumstances other than the parcel's sort of non-conforming status. Despite its small size, however, conforming structures, including an accessory dwelling unit, are possible. The request is the result of the petitioner's chosen design, and it is likely financially motivated. Literal interpretation of the regulations would not deprive this applicant of the rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same zoning district. The variances are not required in order to make use of the subject property, and approval of the variance would confer special privilege upon the petitioner. The variance relief is a remedy afforded to all similarly situated owners. Just to show you the proposal that staff received, you can see the proposed residence here shifted slightly to allow this driveway. Again, this is approximately 1,000 square feet for a single-family residence. You would have up to 5 feet of clearing between these two structures here and the 278 square foot accessory dwelling unit that is proposed. It's staff's contention that the size of this principal dwelling unit, the principal dwelling on the parcel could be reduced in order to eliminate at least one of these variances and to keep things in harmony. And so, with that, MPC staff does recommend approval of the request to reduce the minimum building frontage from 70% to 58%, but staff recommends denial of the two other variances related to the accessory dwelling unit to reduce the separation and to reduce the rear setback. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Can you scroll back down? What is to the rear of this property line?
There is a vacant lot.
A vacant lot?
Yes, sir. but it is buildable. At some point in the future, someone could come in and.
He wants to let that setback be 3 feet?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Go back up to the renderings.
Sure.
No, I'm sorry. To go back to the.
The concept of.
The plot, yeah. So. Corner. Okay, but then the. All right. Any questions for Mr. Morrow? Thank you very much. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm Chas Smith. I'm young, but my dad's been building in the area for over 30 years. So I graduated about 3 or 4 years ago, and this is actually probably the first project that I'm here for. So this is my first time here. I'm here to answer any of your questions.
It makes me feel old. I went to high school with your dad. Any questions for the petitioner?
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
You have to go before the Historic Review Board next week, I think, right?
Yes, sir. Next week.
Do you have an issue with us pushing this off until the next meeting? Here's the reason that I ask.
Okay.
Those guys are going to set conditions that may or may not comply with variances that we give you, and you may have to come back to us anyway, which would push you off for 2 months.
Okay.
So if I could offer a little advice, I might ask us to postpone it till next month so that you can get your approvals and conditions that we can then really work within.
Okay.
We find that most times that you've been to the historic guys first.
Yes. Well, we had our initial.
Yeah, you had your preliminary meeting, right?
Yeah.
But I will advise you as a young guy in this business that that's completely different from what's going to happen when you get in front of the board.
Okay.
So
that was, I don't want to cut you off, but everything, we started this process in June.
Yeah.
You know, putting in our permits, and we kind of started the process. Well, I came here a little over a year and a half ago, and I met with Edward, and he proposed the ADU. So we went to the building department. You know, we submitted everything. We got almost through. Of course, we didn't go to the HPC because I guess we'd asked somebody and they didn't tell us, to be honest with you. I didn't know.
These things happen.
But we went all the way through permitting process for almost 3 to 4 months. We were almost to the point where they're going to grant us everything. They just said we needed to pass zoning, and we were not going to pass on one requirement. But then things flipped. It was approved, and then it got to John, and then John had to stop it. And then, honestly, it went on for a few weeks of confusion of which ordinance we were out of, we weren't conforming with. So it's been a little bit frustrating. So we're trying to, we've already got the bank loan. We've already ordered the windows. It's very stressful, so we're just trying to get it started.
I don't know if I would have voted the windows, but thank you. I'm going to have a question for our very learned friend from the historic part of our department.
Yeah, me too.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Nice to see you all.
Thank you. Always nice to see you, sir.
Yes.
When I look at this, I see something that potentially is going to have a problem with the board. What is your history with this, and how have you guys all been working?
Sure. So I'm actually going to let Kelly Mitchell come up, who's the staff person who's handling this.
Thank you, Kelly.
To answer your questions. Thank you,
Mr. Mellon. Does this get heard all in one meeting, or are you going to do it in two parts?
So it's going to be before the HPC on the 28th. And as Mr. Morrow noted, this came up with a couple other projects where there's no requirement that folks go to HPC first for a recommendation.
Why not?
We do encourage them to do that because we think it makes sense that then when they come to you, as you were articulating, they've already gotten their approvals and they have a recommendation. We can't force people to do that. And as the applicant noted, I think this project in particular has kind of a very complicated history in terms of they had gotten approval originally from the city, I believe, and then approval was kind of revoked. So we've been working to try to help this applicant get through this process. But I'll let Kelly talk a little bit more.
But are you going to hear part height and mass?
So we only do part one and part two for large scale projects.
Okay.
So for a small project, it's all done at one time where they come in for height and mass, but they also get their material pallet approved, fenestration, et cetera.
Thank you.
So, afternoon. Again, I'm Kelly Mitchell. I'm the staff person with the project. Again, we've been working heavily with this applicant. As of right now, we are recommending continuance for this project. There are some very minor details that need to be fleshed out. So, you know, the driveway, for example, our standards require that it be like a ribbon strip. So some very minor stuff. The primary concern that we had and why we're recommending the continuance is that a special exception is required for this project. One, the elevation does not meet the 30% transparency standard. So we recommend the continuance because that was not applied for in time. But overall, staff was okay with the project. Any other questions?
No, that's what I wanted to know.
Mr. Smith, I feel like you got cut off in the middle of things. Do you have anything you want to say?
That's all right. I was going to mention the special exception. There wasn't enough windows on the left side of the house. So that was another, you know, $1,000 we got to pay and wait for it. So that's what I'm waiting on next month. So I still have to wait for that anyway. That's it. Thank you.
All right. Any members of the public that wish to speak? Oh, yeah. Mr. Murphy or Mrs.
Yes.
Murphy?
Yes,
please come to the podium and state your name for the record.
My name is Ms. Esther Murphy, E-S-T-E-R, Murphy. And what they're trying to do is chop half of our land and stick their property on it. They chopped down our trees because they said they wanted to build a parking lot, but that is our land, not theirs. That was our trees, not theirs. And we really oppose them coming and interfering in our stuff.
Thank you, Mrs. Murphy.
There's no thank you. They've been trying to do it for the longest, and we've been refusing it. So now they just went ahead and did it when we were at home.
Okay.
They didn't wait for us to come home. They did it when we were at home. We come back, we had no trees and no land.
The tree removed?
Say it again.
Would you mind showing us where you live in relation to the property?
I'll show you where I live at. I'll show you. Be glad to.
Or the relationship of your property to the subject.
Right.
15.
Thirty-ninth Street.
What did I do? Okay. That's 15. Okay. So you can use the mouse pointer to show us your property. So this is the subject property right here. This is the piece of property.
This is ours right here.
Okay, so you live right here.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
Mrs. Murphy, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
I guess it's pointing to the right. That's it. So that's it.
Mr. Smith, do you have a right to rebut public comment?
So I just want to say earlier this year, me and my dad both spoke with them. I have a woman named, was it Kathy? Are you Kathy or is there another Kathy?
That's Esther.
Okay.
Esther.
Okay. I got the phone number from the two people that lived there and we spoke to them We explained that their fence was dilapidated and there was an oak tree going through it that was dead. And a lot of, you know, we went and talked to them and said, we're going to build a new house here. We explained them the whole situation. We said, would you like us to, you know, it was encroaching. We had a new survey done as well. So, you know, they said that they thought their property encroached a couple more feet onto ours, but you know, I spent over $2,000 on a professional survey and he was out there for weeks. You know, I trust him. It was Mark Keaton. When we discussed with them about the fence, we said, if you'd like, we can take the trees down. We can take the fence down. And then, you know, once we build, we'll go back and give you a brand new privacy fence. And, everyone was in agreement and everything was fine. And then after they said we could do it and the guys were there, I got a call that, you know, they were complaining, but then someone at the house said it was okay. So, you know, we weren't trying to do anything wrong. We were just, you know, trying to do something that I thought would help them out a little bit with the fence and get rid of the dead tree and then have a nice new fence. We weren't trying to do anything as far as taking any land or anything like that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Edward, do you mind pulling back up your recommendations?
I have a question.
Oh, go ahead, Ms. Jones.
Has the tree been removed?
The tree's gone, right?
All the trees are gone.
Well, the plans only show one tree.
Except for that one tiny little tree.
Three trees showing on the survey. Hopefully, we'll have this come back.
The dated chain link fence.
On time.
So, Mr. Marr, the trees that we're all talking about, were they on Mr. Smith's property?
It appears that they were, and perhaps it was just a misunderstanding about where the property line was.
I understand. All right. So we can approve, deny, or we can, you know, make a motion to continue this till after the other meeting, which is. Right.
Yeah, because I have a problem.
So entering into board discussion, Mr. Griffith, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Mrs. Jones?
No, not at this time.
Mr. Turner?
No, sir.
Mr. Condon?
I think we should take the advice of Kelly and continue it till our next meeting to give those guys an opportunity to do a little bit more review with and have the historic review guys give them their conditions.
Okay. Mr. Plunk, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, sir.
Mr. Ball?
Just that it looks like on page 5, this is a survey, but it isn't clear. It doesn't say who did it. It would be good if this comes up next month about the property line that the entire survey is uploaded so we can consider that.
I mean, I'd give the venture to say that any variance that we grant to the petitioner or deny him is only for his property. We have no authority to encroach on somebody else's anyway. I mean, it doesn't seem like an issue that has to do with us, but would someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we postpone this hearing or this particular variance request until our next meeting.
All right, Mr. Condon has made a motion to continue this request.
I'm sorry, sir.
So it was mentioned that HPC staff is recommending continuance, which means by the time you come back around next month, if the board chose to follow staff's recommendation, they still will not have made a decision. So should we be specific as far as once HPC makes a decision, or do you still want it to go on next meeting if their board chooses to continue it? I just wanted to point that out. That is what she was stating.
I think let's do it to next meeting. If they don't make a decision at the meeting, we'll know in advance and then Mr. Smith can ask us to push it off another to the next meeting.
To the July meeting. Okay.
And we'll just be specific on that on our motion.
I want him to know that we're trying to get it done from as quickly as possible in the most efficient way.
Mr. Condon has made a motion to continue this petition until the June meeting of Savannah ZBA. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Griffith. Is there any discussion on the motion? Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Griffith?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the petition is continued until next month. There are no other items on the agenda, so we are adjourned.